Right, today I'm at the Racing Post offices with Tom Park. Right, Tom, thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us
today. No problem at all.
You've edited the Racing Post betting guide, which has just come out fairly recently.
Yep.
How long was that in the making?
The first initial meeting about that was just after Cheltenham Festival, I think. So it was in March. And we basically, the books editor came to me and just said, look, we've got this plan to do a new betting guide. I think it's 15 years since the last one we did. So, and what would be your thoughts about editing it? So I kind of pitched some ideas and we kind of went from there, really. We had probably about five or six meetings, maybe building up the pool of people. Matt Langdon was there from the football and Paul Keighley from the racing. And we kind of just flinging ideas around before we came up with the concept at about the end of April. And then it was a pretty quick turnaround, really, from actually taking the ideas and getting them into practice, really. I think the first deadline, that I did it in waves of copy, so kind of dished out some copy, and the first deadline was the end of May, and we kind of had it all in and done by the end of June. So it was a pretty quick turnaround. It went to print, it took about a month to print, and yeah, we've got the copy now, and it's I'm very pleased with it. It looks great. There's plenty of good stuff in there, and I think the idea basically of covering, initially the plan was just to cover racing, and then we thought, oh well, what about bringing in the other sports as well? And we kind of wanted something that was bite-size. So look, casual punters, punters of all kinds of ability, even up to, I mean, I'm not expecting professionals to be picking up this, and that's not the kind of target audience that we have found. There's a lot of intense books on the market. We just wanted something that sit on the coffee table, and when you're having a bet on a Saturday, whether it be on the football, the golf, the racing, you can kind of pick things up from some of our experts here, our mass array of experts at the Racing Post. So plenty of good stuff in there.
Okay, so before we talk too much more about the book, let's talk about you for a bit. Now, you've been at the Racing Post for over 6 years,
yep.
And you're now 28.
Yeah.
So was a career in journalism, and in particular sporting and racing journalism, always on the cards?
From when I was about 18, it was. Back in the day, I used to want to be a PE teacher. That was kind of what I applied to do for a university and stuff. Didn't quite happen. Decided to reroute myself. I always had bad knee injuries from when I was about 15, so I kind of, a career in sport, certainly in hindsight, probably wasn't going to be the best idea. I'd have been on the injury table for too long of it. But once I decided to go to university, did sports journalism up at Sunderland, and yeah, it was racing very quickly became a passion of mine. I first got into racing really when Kato Starr was kind of the big horse that first got me in, and it was a case of going down the bookies. One of my mates used to get served in the bookies when he was quite young, actually, and he used to go in and put bets on for us, and we'd be getting out of lessons, meet in the toilets, watch a champion hurdle and stuff like that. It was all good fun. But yeah, Kato Starr was the first real horse that got me into it, but then Q Card was the one at university that, and look, he was around for ages, so I kind of, that really gave me the bug for that. Look, you go into a sports journalism degree, and I think there was about 200 people on our course, and every single one of them wanted to be football writers. I have a passion for football as well, but it became apparent that racing was kind of a niche, and because I had a lot of interest in it, that was kind of the first real indication that's where I wanted to go. Went to complete my degree. I think my dissertation was in, I did like a racing magazine and stuff, and so it was definitely horse racing that I wanted to give a go. Spent about 6 months after university just worked in a coffee shop in Sunderland, lived in Newcastle at the time, and I'd kind of applied for a few different roles at local papers and stuff, did a bit of work experience at the Northern Echo, and it was probably going to be my last shot before I maybe hit it on the head and maybe did a teaching PGC or whatever. Applied for the Racing Post for an internship. Very lucky, got an interview. My interview was quite weird actually, because I was so desperate to come across as passionate. I was talking about all sorts of how I'd named the Hoover at work Rock on Ruby because it was green, and it was. I'm surprised I even got given the job, but I think they just saw passion in me. And yeah, I went from there, started as an intern 6 months, and then worked on the editorial desk for the last 6 years. It's flown by, really.
Okay, so you tip in the paper now?
Yeah, I do occasional tipping. Done that for a few years. I've done the tipping column on an occasional basis, but I've done the Anti-Post Focus for the last 3 years. So I had some successful bets, some unsuccessful bets, just the way it goes with Anti-Post, but yeah, it's been good fun. And yeah, there's all sorts of pressures that come with that, but I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
It's one of those pressures, feeling some sort of responsibility for people that take your advice?
Absolutely. Look, I always say that you get a bit of stick and stuff online if you're batting losers, but I've given enough winners over the course of the years to compensate for that. I think that the biggest problem when you're a tipster is people will follow your tips on one particular day. You have a bad day, then you kind of hung, drawn and quartered. You have a good day, they're probably going to take your advice the next year. And look, you get bad comments, but you get good ones as well. I remember when I was on the podcast here and tipped up, what was the Charlie Hills Moment of Madness win the Portland last year. It was a big old price and got a load of messages saying, oh, well done, I've just had it. And I like that, when you've given some advice to someone and they have it off, that's just as good as winning yourself, really.
And talking about winning yourself, are you a winning punter, personally?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years I've had pretty good turnover. I mean, it's getting the bets on now that I've got a problem with, but you've got some firms that I can still get on with from Betfair and stuff. But yeah, it's taken a while. It's just a case of being able to watch as much racing as possible, really, and learning. I'm still relatively young. I've been here for a few years now, and it's a case of just putting right your bad habits, really. And yeah, over the last couple of years have been pretty successful, so it's gradual slope, so hopefully we'll have some more winners over the next few years.
Is it predominantly horse racing you bet on?
Yeah, I'm a terrible football punter, bet far too much with the heart. I've done all right on golf, but I tend to listen to Steve Palmer's advice, which has kind of helped me out over the last couple of years. But yeah, I do like my golf, so I tend to have a bet in that. Football, I do bet, but that's probably the reason why some of my accounts are still open, because football is just terrible. Probably the same as Sunderland, really, which is my team. Just massive downward spiral.
Okay, so at 28, you've become editor of not only the Weekender, but also the Racing and Football Outlook. Now, I suppose that's relatively young. Is it a lot of pressure?
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure. I've kind of moved my way up the ranks on the editorial desk, been doing different things. But yeah, there's massive pressure. I've always been a fan of the RFO and the Weekender, so taking over products that I've got passion for. And yeah, we've got there's challenges on the horizon, but like, I'm pretty confident we can overcome that. We've got a great product there and got some fresh ideas, so hopefully we'll it'll continue to be a success.
One of those ideas isn't to amalgamate the two?
No, I think they serve well as two separate papers at the moment. They're both still doing well compared to other print organisations, so we've got a core readership there that are passionate about both, and there's brilliant bits of stuff in both as well. I think they kind of serve two separate purposes, really. So,
okay, yeah. So back to the book. Why was it felt there was a need to produce another betting guide? I know you say that last one was 15 years ago, which I was quite surprised by. So what was the, why was it felt there was a need?
There was, I think, as you said, there's 15 years since the last one. And we just wanted to, there's a lot of young people getting into racing now. With the social media side of things, you can see people getting passionate about racing, and we felt there was just something to help them kind of along the way, really, whilst keeping it to our normal readership of maybe it's a little bit older. It's just to freshen things up. And we wanted to incorporate all the different sports, really. I mean, if them last betting guides that we did, I think there was five or six books, all real chunky, full of advice, but quite hard. You needed to really have the mind and concentration to kind of get through them. So freshen them up. And we thought that actually boiling things down into smaller points, making it a little bit easier to read without taking out the core advice and tips in there, that we could achieve that, and I think we've done a good job of it, really.
I mean, I've read it, and I did feel that the variety of writers kept it fresh, so you could keep turning the pages rather than getting bogged down in all sorts of statistics. But the Racing Post, the people working at the Racing Post, especially when you look around the office here, look to be getting a lot younger. But the demographic of the book is probably a bit older. Would you say there's no substitution for experience when it comes to gambling?
I think that look, what we were trying to achieve is getting the best people in the best roles, really. We've got a lot of senior tipsters. There's still some young, blood in there. I know Andrew Wilshire, he's in his early 20s. He's a very good non-league football judge. But look, we want the best people in the best roles. It's taking nothing away from our younger members of staff. They're progressing at a rapid rate of knots, and they would certainly be capable of contributing to this. But I felt like having our the biggest names on the biggest subjects, on the subjects that people would expect them to be writing about as well. But take nothing away from the young guns here. They're brilliant. So that certainly in a few years' time, they would be more than capable of putting a book together like this and helping people out.
Now, there's a wide variety of sports covered in there. Would you say that this book maybe is the leapfrog of that experience for any reader? Is that what they can aspire to when they read it, to try and gain that knowledge quickly so they can become successful faster than they normally would?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a punter myself, so it was kind of what would I expect, what would I want even now, what kind of things would I be after? The football section would certainly help me out because, as I said, I'm not the best of football judges. The Saturday punter was kind of it was a wide target audience, but the Saturday punter was the main guy we were the main person we were trying to target here. And we've got the football, the golf, everything. As I said earlier, you can just sit on a coffee table, and when you've got the sport on, you can pick it up. If you want to have a bet, you can do so with more. Hopefully you'll back more winners doing it like that.
You mentioned yourself that you've been successful for the last couple of years, and already you're struggling to get your bets on. And would it be a little bit off-putting for anybody reading this, thinking you're going to get knowledgeable, absorb all the information in there, and as soon as you start showing a bit of a profit, you're going to get knocked back? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well,
as a personal point of view.
Yeah, it's difficult, really. I mean, some of the accounts that have restricted me, there's no way that them accounts should be restricted. I don't know if it's they're linking. I always have this superstition that they know they're kind of all in cohesion with each other, and they kind of one passes on information to the other. And so I don't know why they don't lay bets a bit more. I mean, some of my accounts, admittedly, I've done rather well on, but some of them, like, I'll give them the money back on other things, you know what I mean? As I said, I'm a punter at heart. I like the race and the football, everything, so I like to have a bet on. I just like having a bet. I enjoy it. And I don't know what goes through the bookies' minds. I mean, it is very frustrating when you can't get a bet on, so when you're offered 21 pence on things, but it took me a few years to kind of get to that point. Hopefully there'll be a bit more time, but there's plenty of accounts you can have open. Some will give you a bit more leeway than others, so hopefully it'll help people enjoy having a bet. Hopefully the bookies will continue to take the bets, but we'll see. I'm sure I'll get feedback on that when people are tweeting me saying, oh, I can't, it'd be, I tell you what, the book served its purpose if they're tweeting me saying, oh, I can't get a bet on because I've had it off because I've read your book. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds for that.
Okay, so well, finally, take something out of that book that you would describe as one of the standout pieces of advice for anybody watching who's too tight to buy the book, or maybe we'll just take that on board, or we'll, you know, what would be the standout piece of advice in there for punters?
Well, one of the things that came up repeatedly, and I deliberately left it in each chapter because I think it's important and unique to all of them, is betting with discipline. You probably know yourself, over the course of time, you've got to know when a good bet is a good bet, and you've got to have the discipline to kind of go, you know what, that's, whether you've been on a bit of a loser, you've had a bad day, or you've kind of won and you don't want to be giving them any of it back, really. They'll point, each chapter we've kind of pulled out a top tip for each, and if you follow them, hopefully you'll be winning. But the biggest piece of advice is bet with a bit more discipline. Don't get carried away. And, you know, when things are going well, they tend to be going well. When they're not quite as bad as you think either. So it tends to balance each other out, and hopefully there's plenty in there. They should be, get plenty out of it, yeah.
Okay, available from all good bookshops.
Yep, this is it.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Tom Park, thank you very much.
No problem.
Star Sports TV, our weekly magazine TV programme packed with tips, news and banter on the key sports events of the week. Check out the latest episode at starsportsbet.co.uk. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.